Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. Faisal, when we have conversations with clients about their legacy and estate planning, the family dynamics always plays a role, right? And we've talked about this in the past. Sometimes those family dynamics get to the point where a parent is not, they want to write a child out of the will. Like there's something, they become estranged.
Can I tell you a story?
Yeah.
My daughter was kind of upset with me and she called me a loser. And then you know what I did inside voice? You know what my inside voice was? You're out of the will.
That wasn't your inside
You're
voice.
You're out of the will. That was my inside voice. I didn't say it out loud, but I thought it.
Right.
Because she called me a loser.
Right. Well, she's not totally wrong.
She's not wrong.
Whatever you were doing at that moment probably was a loser.
Probably was a loser. But the point is that people want to, for whatever reason, to remove their children out of the will.
Well, there comes a time. There are instances where that happens, and it's a bit tricky when it's a child, and there's differences in different jurisdictions like Alberta, BC, so on and so forth. But there's lots of instances where this happens. Now, how do you do it is really the question. If you're at that point, right, and it's not just your inner voice, it's your outer voice. What do you have to do in order to accomplish that? Right, well, we need to understand that.
Yeah, we need our expert and coming back on our show, a recurring guest, Jennifer Lamb, partner at Cars Callan. Jennifer, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much, Faisal and Dave, for having me back. It's always interesting to talk about these issues of the family dynamics and what to do with children who may or may not receive anything under their parents' wills.
Now, let's maybe start with that. You made a comment when we were off air, Jen, that, that this is a topic of discussion that is... I was going to say becoming more popular. That's not the right phrase for sure, but it's creeping up in the conversation. Perhaps you can tell us a little bit about what you know, what this process looks like if somebody's out there thinking, I've got a problem with one of my children and I may want to write them out of the will. What does that mean in Alberta?
Absolutely. So as a starting point, under Alberta law, there is actually no obligation to treat adult children equally under a will unless they have a dependency. And that is defined as, you know, some physical or mental disability where they can't earn a livelihood. So if you take that issue aside, there's actually no obligation to treat your children equally. I've got three kids of my own, assuming when I'm older and they reach the age of majority, you know, if my oldest is being a loser and I decide that I don't want to provide for him, I'm certainly entitled to, you know, take him out of the will. Again, that's the starting point, is there is no legal obligation absent dependency. I'd also add that if there's a concern that one child is perhaps financially less responsible, you may want to either take them out of the will or set up what's called a testamentary trust, whereby their inheritance is managed. It's not given outright or in stages, but rather it's put into trust. And then there's a trustee that manages those funds. So there's many, many different options that you can consider when whether or not you want all or some or none of your children in your will.
Jen, there's a lot of people who we've spoken to that have conflicting thoughts about removing a child from their will. Part of it is guilt. They want to treat all their children equally, regardless of the relationship. You've been doing a lot of planning work with your clients about this specific topic. What are some of the reasons why your clients are removing their children out of the will?
So in addition to concerns over financial responsibility, a troubling issue I've had to deal with my clients on is, does a child have addiction issues, substance abuse problems, which I guess ties into the concerns over financial irresponsibility. Those are two big issues. A third issue I've identified is, what if there's that one child in the family who has been given a lot of gifts while mom or dad are alive? Maybe they struggled, they needed more help, they gambled some money away, they got into debt, made bad investments. So perhaps there was unequal treatment during their lifetimes. So that is another very compelling reason where clients feel a moral obligation to treat all children equally yet if one received a lot during the lifetime, then it should be equalized on death, if I'm making sense in that regard. And that's a really, really common fact scenario I see with my family planning clients, is they do want to treat everyone equally, but there may as well have been one or more children that got that extra cash, gifts, cars, down payments for houses during the lifetime. So it's an equalization process that they want to achieve in their testamentary documents.
And I like the point how Jen mentioned that, Dave, with equalization, and a lot of parents feel they want to treat the children equally.
Right.
We have to look at the time frame. When we're talking about estate planning or a legacy, we talk about upon death, but that can be while you're alive as well. So if you broaden your scope of your time frame to include from birth of child to your passing, and you look at that to equalize, then you're taking into account everything. I think that's a better way to look at it than just saying, well, upon death, it should be equal with all my children.
Now, that's a practical way to look at it, and I think that makes sense. But that doesn't always translate when it comes time to read that will, and one of the children is either written out or gets less. So, Jen, although there's no financial obligation, we have all seen instances where somebody says, hey, one of the children says, that's not fair, and now I'm going to challenge that will. So if you're in that situation, what special steps, if any, do you need to take to make sure that it is understood that that was with intent?
Excellent point, Dave and Faisal. So a couple of recommendations I make to my clients, there's two key ones. If you want to purposefully leave a child out or give them less, you build that language into the will itself, very clearly setting out the intentions. I specifically am excluding this child for the following reasons, A, B, and C, and that's very careful drafting that we do. I also recommend doing, during the lifetime, a letter of intention that's usually signed by both the testator and the child. So they're on the same page as to, you know, the worst thing is when people are caught by surprises, right? A child doesn't think that they're going to be cut out, and all of a sudden on death, they realize this. And then that's where the blow-ups tend to really happen. And the families really can fall apart and be subject to, you know, just awful, awful litigation and family disputes and the rest of it. So those are two strategies that we really recommend, not just having the language built in the will, but a separate, almost a gifting letter. So if a parent is giving a child significant gifts over their lifetime, or maybe just a car or house, it doesn't have to be multiple gifts, I always like to understand how those are treated. Are those treated as an advance on inheritance, or are those just pure gifts that never have to be looked at again, and then the will stands on its own? So these are a few of the different fact scenarios that we like to run through with our clients to say, what do you intend? What do you truly want to see when it happens? Because another issue I do want to raise, and I know we don't have too much time. I think we could talk about this topic all day long, but what happens when there's real property, like the family cabin? Two kids want it. Third has no interest in using it. They just want their interest bought out. That always creates very, very interesting planning scenarios, because how do you structure that? Do you give the property to all three, even though one or two may not have any interest in it? And how do you equalize that? And it doesn't have to be a recreational property. It can be any other properties that are held. So whenever we're flagged by our clients to adult children and having not just cash, not just liquid assets, but property, we always and jewelry, artwork, all those things have to be taken into account when we're advising our clients.
So this is why Jennifer was talking about the letter of intent. The word intent is the key piece here. The planning, sitting down with your team, not only your financial team, but a legal team as well, like Jen's, to get together and build a strategy so you have this document that you're going to look at over and over again in the future has the same wishes and intent that you want to have. And the more planning you do around it, the less conflict there'll be. And Jen, definitely we want to make sure that anybody who wants to sit down with you to chat and learn more about how they can have that kind of conversation and present that proper estate plan, just go to morethanmoneyradio.com. hit the contact us, say you want to speak with Jennifer, and we'll connect you with her directly.
Jen, thank you very much for joining us again today. You're right, we could talk all day. We'll have you back on. These are topics we have to continue to explore. We always appreciate your input on this.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's always a pleasure to talk our clients through these challenging times, and we can usually find a way. We say open communication, full and frank disclosure as best you can, so your kids aren't caught off guard and you don't have a mess after you're long gone.
Yeah, Jen Lam, partner, Kars Kallen, LLP. Thank you very much. And I would add to this that for our guests that are listening outside of Alberta, the rules are different in different jurisdictions and different provinces. You need to seek legal advice because it may not be the same as Jen just described in Alberta, in BC, and all other provinces. So take that with consideration. Now, we have to talk about families. We have to talk about if you have a child that needs to be disinherited for positive or negative reasons, how do you do that? What is the legacy? What is the legacy plan in retirement?
Yeah, we're going to talk about that legacy plan and all your retirement strategies on December 6th, 7 p.m. in person at the Carriage House Inn. You need to register for this, so go to morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
Is inflation ruining your retirement? Join us after the break for a look at what to expect. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.